Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. Joining us today is Dennis Ernst. He's the director of the Center for Phlebotomy Education in Indiana. He's going to talk to us today about two new CLSI documents, the venipuncture standards and guidelines for developing a phlebotomy training program. Hi, Dennis.
Thank you, Kelly. Yeah, these two documents are very important documents, and I think they'll be very essential for anyone who teaches or manages blood specimen collection procedures. The first one I want to talk about is the highly anticipated revision of the CLSI venipuncture standard, formerly known as H3 and now renamed as GP41. This document replaces the sixth edition of H3, which was published in 2007. So we're really long overdue for a revision. But I got to tell you, we've been working on this for 2 years now. And I'm proud to say that this revision is the most comprehensive this document has ever been subjected to in the history of the document. It has never met the scrutiny that my current committee is giving this document. So I'm really proud of what we're doing and proud of how we're bringing it up to date and making so many vast improvements to the end user. There's a multitude of changes in this edition, not the least of which is reformatting this document into a process with multiple procedures. And this is consistent with CLSI's latest infusion of quality system essentials into document revisions. When this document is finally released, you're going to see that it articulates a sequence of chronological procedures that comprise the process of successfully and safely performing a venipuncture. Quality system essentials, or QSEs, are really foundational building blocks that serve effectively to support the laboratory's path of workflow. In addition to the QSE concept, other changes in this document include greater detail on patient identification, specimen labeling, patient positioning, drawing for mastectomy patients, tourniquet use, adverse reactions, needle relocation, and preventing iatrogenic anemia. We significantly revised information on how to collect samples from vascular access devices and when fluids are being infused. We beefed up our discussion on how to draw trace element tubes in regards to the order of draw. We added comprehensive sections on remedies for difficult draws. And here's the big thing. The references in this document have been thoroughly updated. And I have to tell you, the body of knowledge on blood sample collection is enormous. So reviewing the new literature since 2007 and all of the references that were already in that document was no small task. So when this document is released, users can rest assured that the entire body of knowledge has been thoroughly vetted and old references has been removed. A lot of new references have been added. So I think you're going to see that this is a really solid document, completely and entirely reformatted for greater usability, and new passages that really enhance the use of the document and answer a lot of questions that CLSI gets in implementing the document. We're currently approaching my committee's first vote on this document. Then it will go out for public review. And so I really anticipate this document will be polished and released sometime late in 2015. The second CLSI document that I've been chairing the construction of is called GP48, and that is titled Essential Elements of a Phlebotomy Training Program. This is vastly different from GP41, since GP41 talks about how to perform the procedure, but those educators who are looking for a guideline to determine how to develop their own in-house training program and what elements should be included in there, or those educators at academic institutions who want to make sure they're covering everything in their phlebotomy programs that need to be covered, will find this document instrumental in establishing a structure, an outline for them to develop their full-blown program. Those who already have programs can use this document just to make sure that they're covering everything they need to cover. This is not a standard, but a guideline, and it's intended to provide the global community of educators, whether they conduct training at healthcare facilities or teach at academic or proprietary programs, with guidance in developing a comprehensive training program for laboratory sample collection. It's our hope that those who use the document are going to be able to develop a training program that teaches those essential elements to any healthcare professional who draws blood samples as a part of their job responsibilities, and those who handle or process or transport samples. So this document is intended to be used by colleges and proprietary school educators, nurse educators, educational coordinators, lab directors and managers, phlebotomy supervisors, really any healthcare professional or educator that's responsible for the development or implementation of a sample collection training program. The document, in contrast to GP 41, is not intended to prepare anybody for certification, of course. Certification programs may have their own requirements, but it's intended to suggest what should be taught. Not how to teach it, but what should be taught. My committee members are amongst the most passionate and dedicated educators and managers in the industry, so I've really got a brain trust here that is putting together a really important document, a really valuable resource. Let me just kind of give you a rundown of the outline here. So what my committee suggests, among other things, is that everybody who is learning how to draw or handle or transport blood samples need to know a bit about physiology of the blood, how analytes are affected according to time and transit conditions, specimen handling issues. Infection control has to be covered, of course. The proper supplies and equipment, and naturally the heart of the document is you got to teach the standards on how the sample ought to be collected. So we do reference GP 41 there. We talk about including information on collections with special considerations, how to collect non-blood samples. We recommend addressing legal issues and patient safety in training programs, complications and first aid, quality assurance, identifying agencies that oversee medical laboratories. We make mention that everyone who learns phlebotomy needs to understand point of care testing, workplace safety. And we spend a good bit of time in this document talking about infusing professionalism into your training program. And of course, computer use and clinical practice as ways to really firm up what you're teaching in the classroom. So I think this document is really going to be a boost for those facilities who have come up with their own training program but aren't quite sure if they're including everything, and really for educators who are tasked with the job of putting together a training program from nothing, from scratch. Well, you don't have to start from scratch anymore, because we're going to provide the basis, the essential elements that you need to include in your program, and the rest is just up to you to infuse into your program. So those who use this document will no longer have to guess, what do I need to include in my program, because we're laying it all out for them here. So I'm really excited about this document. I'm excited about the time that we are taking to really make it a functional and valuable document. And I'm really excited about how it's going to improve the quality of training programs in healthcare facilities around the world and in academic and proprietary schools. So I'm really excited about this. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to really bring it to the attention of your listeners.